everybody, and welcome to this IT Showcase webinar. We are so pleased to see so many IT professionals have joined us today and from across the globe. We'll be sharing some valuable insights about how Microsoft does IT, and we will also be answering some of your questions. My name is Rekha Nair, and I'm a business program manager on the IT Showcase team. And today with me, I have Ashok, who is a subject matter expert, and we'll be talking about how we use System Center Configuration Manager for client patch management. So welcome, Ashok.
Thank you, Rekha. Nice
to have you here. So if you can introduce yourself and also let us know what we can expect to hear from you today.
Sure. Thank you, Rekha. A very good morning to all of you. My name is Ashok. I'm the service manager for patching and software deployment at Microsoft. So I've been at Microsoft for the last 13 years, and I've been doing this particular role for the last 4 years. So I'm very glad to be part of this conversation here, and I'll talk to you more about how we do patching at Microsoft, how we have implemented Config Manager 2012 at Microsoft, and you know, I'll walk you through all you guys through the complete patching process that we use at Microsoft.
And great, and of course, we're also keen to hear about the user experience. But before we get started, yeah. Ashok, I do want to remind everybody who's on the call that we will be taking questions. So, and we will also have some time towards the end where we'll dedicate just for questions and answers. But please feel free to submit your questions throughout the conversation,
yep.
And I will ask you them as we go.
I'll be more than happy to answer all your questions.
All right. And then this webinar will also be available on demand in a couple of weeks from now. We will actually share the link with you, and you can share it with your colleagues who have not been able to attend today and watch it again if there are parts that you would want to watch again. So with that, and we will also be posting some related content so that, again, you can reuse and share. So with that, welcome once again.
Cool.
And Ashok, let's get started.
Cool. Thank you. So I have a very interesting agenda for today here. I'm going to talk how Microsoft has implemented Config Manager 2012 from an architectural overview. And I'm going to talk about the patching process that we use, you know, from end to end. And I'm going to also give you some of the best practices that we use. And I'm going to give you an insider preview about how a typical user at Microsoft, you know, experiences patching on his computer.
Right, right.
So if I give you a landscape of Microsoft here, so we are located at almost around 500 locations worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
We have around 185,000 employees globally. So if you're looking at the landscape here, we are we are located in headquarters. We're headquartered in Redmond. Okay, so we're headquartered in Redmond, and we have a very good link speed between each of our locations.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any kind of WAN outages because of Config Manager, traffic. So as part of our whole network here, you know, we have 250 Config Manager sites worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of my service boundary, I have more than 350,000 machines at Microsoft that I manage as part of my service boundary.
So very interesting, right? Because you have about 180,000 people.
Yeah.
And almost three times the number of machines.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good thing here. So a lot of users at Microsoft have more than one machine associated with them. Some of them have their desktops along with their laptops as well. And you know, some of them have their lab machines also. So you know, so that's the reason you find more machines, you know, under our service boundary when you compare to the number of users that we have at Microsoft.
And are you seeing some kind of an increase?
Yes, we have more and more devices coming into play here. You know, we have a lot of modern devices coming in. So we have handheld devices that we start managing here. You know, users start using Windows phones, their Androids, and their iPhones. So they bring into their corporate network. We start managing them as well. So I'll just give you an overview about the whole Config Manager hierarchy in our environment here. So we have one primary site, which would act as the administrating and the reporting site for us. So and we have five primary sites that manage Config Manager or clients, as well as all the Windows machines in our environment here. So we are heavily virtualized. So we have around six SQL servers that are on physical machines. Rest of them are virtualized. So, and we have almost around 300 distribution points located worldwide. So if you notice, We have split our Redmond site into two, RD1 and RD2. So that's because we have a majority of our users in Redmond. So we have almost 185,000 machines in Redmond. So we split them into two, RD1 and RD2. And we have divided the Americas into one site and to another primary site. We have the Europe, Africa, and the Middle East as one more site. And we manage the Asia Pacific. The reason we've split across each of the regions is that we can start managing them during maintenance hours as well. Any kind of maintenance activity can be done during non-business hours.
Right, and I'm just looking at the distribution points. If you look at them, it's about 76 in some areas.
Yes, exactly. So we are geographically spread across. So we need to provide coverage to most of the remote offices as well. Mm-hmm. So we have distribution points at the remote offices as well.
Okay, so this architecture is all about Config Manager, and you also talked about a lot of devices joining us. So how do you manage those devices?
We have a connected environment as well. We run a hybrid instance of Config Manager along with Intune. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit more on that as well. So this is my instance of Config Manager here. This is the hybrid infra. So we have our Azure Active Directory sync that happens for Intune. So we have an instance of Azure Active Directory. So if you see the device management here, we have a separate primary site that takes care of all the devices, all the BYOD devices mm-hmm. out there. So we manage all the Android phones, the iPhones. People enroll their iPhones, their iPads, their Macintosh, any other their Windows phones. All the non-domain joined machines are managed through Intune.
Cool. So it's a massive architecture up here.
It's a massive architecture. So when we use Config Manager here for desktop computers here, we have a lot of services for that we offer. And one of them is the application management. We have a very robust software deployment service and an app publishing service as well. So that includes even non-Microsoft patching. So we use asset reporting for inventory and asset intelligence, and then we use for patch management as well. Mm-hmm. So along with patch management, I've also mentioned about something called as test pass patching. This is something that's going to interest a lot of people out here. So we have a program called test pass patching where we test pre-release software updates internally at Microsoft before it's being released worldwide. We also have our external customers called who participate as part of this program. It's called an SUVP program. So every enterprise can enroll into this SUVP program out there. And they can test internally the pre-release security updates and provide feedback to Microsoft as well.
So on that note, this is clearly a patching process, and I know you said you're going to cover that as well. One of the primary roles that IT plays for Microsoft is we test pre-release software. You talked about patches, of course, and we also do pre-release software. On that note, Config Manager.
Yeah. So yes, we run all the pre-release versions of Config Manager internally. Mm-hmm. So right now we are running 15.11. Mm-hmm. So we plan to upgrade to the next version pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So we are we try to dog food all our solutions internally before we release it to the customers worldwide.
So we do deploy them on the production instances that you actually showed earlier, and we use the what we call dog food internally. Essentially, the early adoption, we use the dog food servers to actually release patches.
Yes, that's right.
Interesting.
Yep. So we work very closely with the product teams to provide them feedback on, because we are at such an enterprise scale here, so the kind of feedback that we provide, it really helps our customers as well.
And do we do the deployment across the globe? The footprint that you showed was across the globe.
Yes.
We actually do the dog fooding across the globe.
Yes, exactly.
As well.
So we do the dog food across the globe.
All right. Test passing, I had a quick question on that. So you said we do test the patches before they are released to the public.
Yes.
If you can spend a little bit of time telling us about that process.
Yes. So we work with the security and the product teams, to get the pre-release security patches 2 weeks before they're released worldwide. Mm-hmm. So we take a population of around 10 to 20,000 production machines. Mm-hmm. It can be either your machine or my machine. So everybody at Microsoft are pretty involved into making our products much better. So we take a collection of 10 to 20,000 machines globally. We deploy the pre-release security updates to them, and we collect the feedback. So there's a separate help desk support that we provide to these users out there. So we notify the users. We communicate well beforehand, saying that you're part of this program. and you know, well, we need your feedback on this. And people are very enthusiastic about providing feedback.
I've seen those emails myself. Yeah.
So we release the we deploy the patches, and if there's any kind of you know, issues, you know, we get the report from the help desk. We get direct communication from the users as well, and we provide the feedback back to the product teams. So before it's released worldwide, before it hits the global audience, we test it internally.
Good.
So along with other services that we offer, we do the operating system deployment. So we have deployed Windows 10 as well through Config Manager. All our operating systems are available through the through Config Manager as well. So some of the other things that we use is Settings Management. Formerly, it was called as Desired Configuration Manager. Mm-hmm. So we use it for baselining our environment. And we also use System Center Endpoint Protection, or the Windows Defender that we call right now, through Config Manager.
Multiple roles, huh?
Yes, multiple roles, multiple services. And you know, at the end of the day, we make it look very easy.
That's important.
Yes.
Because if not, you're going to hear from users pretty soon.
Yeah, user experience is something that we keep in mind before you know, we start deploying patches here. I'm going to talk more about the user experience as well, you know, so people are aware, you know, what a typical end user at Microsoft, you know, when he uses a machine out there, you know, how does the patching impact his productivity? What does he see on his screen?
Right.
That's something that's going to be very interesting.
Yes, yes.
So I'll just walk you through the complete patching process here. So patching process has got three different phases. One is the pre-update deployment, one is the actual update deployment that the operation team works on, and then the post-update deployment here. Mm-hmm. As part of the pre-update deployment, the Microsoft security team closely monitors the environment. They look at, you know, what kind of advisories or bulletins need to be released internally, and they work pretty closely with us to mitigate any kind of, you know, any kind of risk planning that we need to make. You know, what is the environment? Does any of these bulletins or patches, you know, impact any application servers out there? You know, mm-hmm. Does it impact any user? Does it impact any user productivity? So we kind of, you know, do all those analyzing during pre-update deployment, and as part of the update deployment, my operations team gets into the picture here. We get the packages, we create the packages, we create the deployment groups, we create the exclusion groups. There are certain times that we, you know, we get certain exclusions during, you know, financial reviews, you know, during certain MYRs. So those are the time that we, you know, create some exclusion groups as well. And we create packages and we do the actual deployment on Patch Tuesday. As part of the post-deployment, you know, the post-deployment works after the 7-day deadline. You know, we confirm the deployment, we, you know, take out the metrics, mm-hmm. We work with the security team to see if you have hit our SLA. And are we compliant here? So we have a very strong KPI to reach 95% patch compliance. Mm-hmm. So we work very aggressively on that. And we also do work with the help desk to kind of collect any kind of feedback. You know, so there are certain times, you know, some patch might impact certain user in a very different way out there. Mm-hmm. So we try to collect feedback here. So the help desk has got tier 1, tier 2 levels here. So we look at the kind of feedback that we receive from the help desk. And then, you know, we start working on that. So as part of the post-update deployment, we take the feedback back to the product teams, mm-hmm. back to the security teams, back to the product teams. We keep all the stakeholders involved here. So it's very important as part of the whole patching process, we keep all the stakeholders, you know, involved. We communicate regularly, you know, about the patching cadence here, so that, you know, it becomes a hygiene factor, you know, for everybody at Microsoft.
Right, and yes, keeping these machines safe, right?
Yep.
You also talked about the test pass phase itself.
Yes.
Does this process apply there? So because you have a very small window, I would think, to
yes.
do the pre-released testing versus, and this is the patching across all
yes.
clients at
yes.
once, right? So do you have a commonality in process?
Yes. Even the test pass program follows its same three principles here. You know,
mm-hmm.
we monitor and we work very closely with security teams to identify what are the vulnerabilities and mm-hmm. what needs to be patched. And we create a subset of the collection of machines so that, you know, if there's an office patch release, we create a collection of office machines out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
if there's, we know what's coming in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So we create a bucket or the collection of machines, you know, to cater that to that particular population.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we collect the feedback and then we pass it on to the product teams as well. So we work very closely with three teams.
Clearly, you have security on one, and of course, when you look at the end user, you also have to make sure that their channels, which typically they would call help desk, is also involved.
Yeah. We don't want to impact any kind of productivity, so we kind of, you know, communicate. We always try to keep the user at first, and, you know, we communicate very closely with him, saying, you know, this is what is being released, this is what is being deployed on your machine, so they know, you know, if there's any kind of impact to their application, so they know what caused it. So they can, they have a support channel as well that we provide.
Good.
So as part of our SLA here, I just want to talk about the SLA here. You know, the first and foremost is to keep our environment secure. So that's the biggest guideline that we follow here. So we work very closely with security team, and we have a fixed SLA of, you know, hitting 95% compliance within the first 7 days of a patch release. So starting patch Tuesday, you know, when we start deploying the patches, by the next Tuesday, we should be able to hit 95% of the machines out there. So we should be able to reach 95% of the machines. And, you know, the security team scans the environment. So they look at the environment. They are the ones who, you know, try to keep us honest here. Mm-hmm. And they look at the compliance report here. So we work very closely with them to see, are we hitting 95% of the machines out there? Mm-hmm. And that's one. And secondly, you know, there are certain times that Microsoft has released, you know, active exploits, you know, an out-of-bound patch. So for an out-of-bound patch, we have an SLA of 3 days. Hmm. So within 3 days, we are supposed to release the patches and get the patches deployed. So we work very aggressively whenever there's an active exploit as well.
Hopefully that's not very common, but that's certainly a process that needs to be.
Yes, definitely there is a process out there, and you know, nobody wants that to happen. But you know, if it happens, we always get it done by 3 days.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now I want to walk you through the user experience options here. As part of a service offering, you know, we have 4 different types of you know, a patching mechanism that we use. Mm-hmm. The first one is the silent, where as a user, you're not, you don't see any kind of pop-ups, you don't see what's happening on your machine. The patches are installed silently in the background, so it doesn't impact your work. And then we have interactive patching. So this is very interesting here. You know, I was reached out by a few product teams saying that, you know, they have a longer test cycles on their test machines, and they wanted to get a notification that, you know, when the patches are being installed, and you know, they want to schedule the patch installation based upon the test cycles. So we make the patches interactive for the first 7 days. So I'm going to walk you through this test cycle as well on that. And maintenance Windows-based patching is, you know, where we have some of the labs who have come into us saying that, you know, some of the lab managers have said that, you know, they want the machines to be patched, not silently, because you know, they want to do during maintenance window, during non-business hours. You know, they have certain critical applications running in the servers out there, so they want to do a maintenance Windows-based patching. So we provide that patching as well. So we try to accommodate all different kind of groups into this kind of patching process here.
Right. I mean, you don't have a very uniform requirement all the time, but you still have your SLA to meet.
Exactly. So that's the uniformity, I would say, you know, from an SLA here. We want to keep our environment secure. Right. We want to reach our SLAs, but we also want to provide a service that, you know, that caters to various business needs.
Right.
So on-demand patching is also a very good feature that, you know, some of the research folks have got in touch with us, saying that, you know, we want to deploy the patches at our own time, not during the maintenance time, you know, but during where they can initiate the patching by running a script on the machine. So we have this particular you know, on-demand patching where the patches are downloaded on their machines, but the owner of the machine or the lab owner or the research owner can initiate the patch installation at their convenient time. So that's something that we also provide as part of on-demand patching.
And do you monitor that those machines have been patched? I mean, it's certainly an option for them to choose, but and then you actually do the monitoring, make sure that it stays compliant.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So let me walk you through the silent patching period here. You know, this is something you know, that's very interesting, because a lot of enterprises have asked me, you know, how do you do silent patching here? You know, they don't want to be very interruptive here, because patching is a very interruptive service as well. You know, it's on your face here, so we try to keep it very silent, so it does not impact productivity. So from day 1 to day 6, you know, that's when we do the silent patching. So starting patch Tuesday, we start we create packages, and we start deploying the packages silently. So we allow the machine, you know, to be deployed. So there's no pop-up that's shown to the user.
Okay.
So, you know, the patch installation takes place in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And once the patches are installed, you know, the Windows users will start receiving a Windows update notification. So it, we rely on the natural Windows, you know, notification to show the notification to the users out there. So in Windows 10, you get the Action Center notification.
Mm-hmm.
So we allow the users to kind of, you know, go through the notification. And once the patches are installed, the mm-hmm. machine is put in a pending reboot state. So there's nothing, you know, that Config Manager steps into and does any kind of reboot here. So the machine is put in a pending reboot state, and we allow the natural reboots to happen. I'm not sure, Rekha, if you just turn off your computer every night, you know, when you go home. So if that happens, you know, you're compliant on the first day itself.
I have to say, the experience has actually changed over years.
Yes.
Because usually when there is a patch that needs to be installed, I see that the installation as well as the reboot happens overnight.
Yes.
And so when I come back, yes. you know, the machine is back
up. Machine, yeah. That's the natural reboot that we rely on, mm-hmm. you know, when users turn off their machines, you know, and they come back. So the machine is compliant here.
Mm-hmm.
So almost 80% of our compliance is done during the first 6 days of patch installation. So during the silent reboot, 80% of the patches are installed.
Mm-hmm.
And a patch installation is complete only after you reboot your machine.
Right.
Yeah. So reboot is the most interruptive thing in during a patch installation here. It's actually not the patch installation. It's the reboot of the machine.
Right. The reboot that's required.
Yeah. So we rely on the natural reboots, you know, for the machine to get rebooted and the machine to be termed as compliant here. So, and also, some enterprises do have, you know, automatic maintenance set at 3 a.m. as part of their group policy. So if you leave a machine on and, you know, at 3 a.m., you know, your automatic maintenance sets in and it reboots your machine. So
mm-hmm.
that's one way that, you know, we get our compliance measurement done. So during interactive patching here, you know, there's not much difference here. The machine that have not installed the patches will see the pop-up, the Software Center required pop-up from Config Manager here. And, user has the option to go ahead and click on the software, on the pop-up,
mm-hmm.
and he can see the list of updates that's available for his machine.
Mm-hmm.
So he can look at the screen and see, okay, I got this many number of updates to install, and he can view the updates, and he can schedule and install the updates at his own convenient time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, you know, that interactive patching provides.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned to you previously, you know, we've provided the interactive patching from day one to day seven to certain product groups
mm-hmm.
because they do have a longer test cycle. So
mm-hmm.
they get to see this particular list of updates on their software center, and they can choose to install it at their own convenient time.
Right. And so you said the majority of it is done on silent.
Yes.
And then there are some groups typically who require,
yes.
who request so that it can stay on interactive.
Yeah.
But you still have the same SLA, so you're monitoring things separately.
Exactly.
Now.
Okay.
And
yes.
And is there a uniformity, like, you know, a particular month?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have certain groups who request so and so, or does it change?
Yes.
You mentioned research. Probably they have, you know, the very set standard that
yeah.
they've asked for.
Yes.
But does it change from other groups?
Yeah. We during financial closure, closures. You know, we get certain requirements. You know, saying that, you know, can we move the patch enforcement, you know, a little earlier
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
So we make such kind of accommodations out there
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, we don't, you know, want to disturb the rhythm of business here.
Right. So we do actually have a question that has come in. If a patch fails, how do we determine that we do not break thousands of clients?
That's a good question here. You know, since we do a pre-release deployment of the patches internally, so
yeah.
we do get an idea on what patches, might break. So I've not seen, the last 4 years, I've not seen a big failure of a particular patch.
Mm.
But there have been a couple of failures where we had to pull back the patch
mm-hmm.
and we had to send out remediation scripts so that, you know, the patch gets uninstalled from machines.
Mm-hmm.
So and we provide the feedback back to the product teams very immediately. You know, we say that, hey, you know, we have pulled this patch from WSUS
mm-hmm.
and Config Manager here, and, you know, because we found this issue out there, and we stop any further deployment of the patch. And there are certain times when we also have to remediate those machines, you know, by uninstalling this patch completely.
Mm-hmm.
So we send out an uninstallation script to those machines and, you know, remove the patches.
Right. Now, you know, you also, as much as we do get to see it ahead of time, there's also a time between the patch being available from Patch Tuesday
mm-hmm.
to when the user gets it, right?
Yes.
When you actually start the deployment. Can you help help us understand how and what the duration is and what happens there.
Typically, let me give you an example. You go on vacation, you know, during past Tuesday, you go out on vacation, you come back probably after 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens on your machine? So you pass the deadline here. So as I was mentioning, you know, we have the 7-day deadline, mm-hmm. you know, to reach 95% patch compliance. We enforce patches on user's machine after 7 days.
Yeah.
So after 7 days, you come onto the network. Config Manager sees that you pass the deadline. So it immediately installs the patches silently on your machine,
mm-hmm.
and it sends out a reboot flag. I can show that to you as part of the next phase here of part of patching here, you know,
okay.
when during the enforcement here.
Okay.
So as part of the interactive patching, you know, just want to continue with this interactive patching where, you know, user gets to choose when to install, when he wants to reboot. It's very interactive, and you know, we've got very good feedback from some of the research groups as well, saying, you know, I'm so much in control of my machine out there. I'm so much controlling during patching here. You know, it's not disruptive. I'm able to schedule. I know what's being installed.
Right, and that I think goes so much into the user experience
yes,
you were talking
exactly.
about. A lot of it is users feeling that they just don't get blindsided by
yes,
patches.
Yes, that's yeah. right. So. As part of the enforcement here, you know, any machine that comes as part of the seventh day, you know,
mm-hmm.
so they receive the 120-minute countdown from Config Manager. So they're able to, you know, minimize the window and hide the window for the first 60 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for the last 60 minutes, they're not able to hide. So the hide button is, you know, grayed out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really on their screen, you know, to see that, okay, they have a patch installed, the machine has to reboot because
mm-hmm.
they just came onto the network
mm-hmm.
and they need to get this patch installed. So it just you know, the user interaction is made available
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, they can look at the screen here, they can restart the machine, they can probably save all their work
mm-hmm.
and then restart the machine.
Okay, so on that note, there's another question that we
mm-hmm.
have. What if users have files opened while reboot occurs? Does it stop the reboot?
If they have files open, no, it does not stop the reboot because as the user is logged on,
mm-hmm.
he can choose to save his files
mm-hmm.
and then reboot his machines. You know, it does not. There are certain applications like your Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Your Outlook is open, and when your machine reboots, you know, your Outlook restarts on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So there certain applications have this, you know, coming back to the same state here, like your Internet Explorer as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up all your browsers out there, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When you come back from
reboot,
that's right.
When you come back from a reboot.
So essentially it's saying if you have files open, it'll actually force a reboot then?
Yeah, it does force the reboot because you're past the deadline here.
Okay.
So, but it provides you that notification for,
mm-hmm.
say, for 120 minutes
mm-hmm.
and for 60 minutes.
Okay. Now, there's another question which says, what point do you test the newest update in the build process?
Yeah. 2 weeks before Patch Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
we get the pre-release updates,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we test it internally. So it's 2 weeks before Patch Tuesday that we get our hands on to the pre-release updates,
mm-hmm.
and we deploy them to production machines. So we don't, we put it onto live production machines out there.
Just like your micro
my machine,
machines,
your machine,
yeah.
any machine out there, you know.
Right.
It can be any person out there globally.
Right, and still you said there were cases where after, when you did a global deployment, you had to recall
yes,
patches in
exactly.
some cases. Okay.
Yep.
Now there's also another question which says, when you report on your patching SLA,
mm-hmm.
do you measure compliance against all machines or only machines that meet specific requirements? And there's an example. Do you require that machines have a healthy Config Manager client or were online within a specific time frame to be measured against
yes.
the SLA?
That's part of the best practices that we do here. So
mm-hmm.
My team has an aggressive target of, you know, having 98% client health.
Yeah.
So our client reach is almost around 98% of the total population of machines.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the best practices that I would recommend to any enterprises out there. You know?
In fact, that's actually, are there any best practices for Microsoft on how to report patch compliance? Yeah.
Good question there. I really like the questions that are coming in here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is one of the best practices that we do here. So we have a very active team that's spread globally.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a team that follows the sun here. I have a team in India. I have a team in Redmond, and we work very, very actively. You know, during update deployment and during post update deployment as well. You know, we have a lot of remediation scripts that we try to remediate the client health
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the day, you know, your client health determines how well you're able to reach out to the client machines.
Right.
So we aggressively look out if there's any kind of proxy failing. Mm-hmm. So we have a client remediation health script that we run on machines that are termed as unhealthy. So we try to restart their services out there, SMS mm-hmm. host services. So we do all the stuff to keep the client health at the optimal state. So mm-hmm. all the machines are on the network. We see those machines. We're able to patch those machines.
Okay, so there is a very dedicated effort to make sure the client health is in there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I do have another question, but I will let you move forward. It's a longer question. I will find out what it is and then we'll get going.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about the best practices here. I'm glad that the questions are around, how do we do this?
Yes.
So some of the best practices that we wanted everybody to inculcate is that, get the people involved, get the users involved, let them know that, keeping the environment secure is a top priority for any enterprises, So communicate very broadly to users whenever there's a patch deployment and, what's impacting. Okay, and why we are deploying these particular patches. Once you get this culture into your organization, people are much more receptive to patches. Mm-hmm. You don't want to disrupt their work anyway. So we try to keep the user experience also into this. But we need to get the buy-in from the users.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us some time, but right now we have a lot of involvement from users. If something breaks on a machine, you are able to report it back. So. Mm-hmm. During Patch Tuesday, it's a Patch Tuesday, and you know why your machine is rebooting. So that kind of awareness should be brought into users. And we deploy patches consistently after the validation phase is complete. So validating patches, if you have certain applications that are very critical in your environment, have a test bed and deploy to those applications out there and see if it's impacting. And every time when the patches are released, we go through the release notes. Is it impacting only Windows 10? Is it impacting Office?
Mm-hmm.
What are these patches doing? So we go through the bulletins. As part of the pre-update deployment, we go and see if it's impacting any particular file or registry. That's part of our process that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping ourselves informed and keeping the users informed will help make the patching process improve.
Right.
Yes. So secondly, I would say, we monitor and remediate the hierarchy issues. So.
Mm-hmm.
Since the patching process is dependent on Config Manager, and Config Manager is dependent on Active Directory and your network here,
mm-hmm.
so we work very closely with the networking team and the Active Directory team to clean up the Active Directory out there, to see if there's any kind of network outages.
Mm-hmm.
Does it impact any particular site out there?
Mm-hmm.
There might be certain outages, because of at a remote site. We work with the local networking teams to identify, what is the network outage, what is the SLA to get this remediated, and we communicate to the users as well, saying that there might be some delay in getting the patches to the machines out there, any software deployment or any app publishing as well. So any network outages or any kind of hierarchy issues might impact all the services that's been used by Config Manager.
Right. So on that note, there's actually a few questions up here that I do want to take. So the question is, I've been working with automatic deployment rules, but haven't replaced the normal deployment process for a few reasons. Can you elaborate on when Microsoft leverages automatic deployment rules versus a manual selection and deployment process?
That's a very good question. So for typical patched users, we use automatic deployment rules.
Okay.
But there are certain times I get an out-of-band request, like an out-of-band active exploit, where I do the manual process.
Mm-hmm.
Certain times I do get requests from different teams that, they want to deploy a hotfix because it might impact a service out there, So I get offhand requests, so for which I use, the manual log process out there. So for typical patch Tuesday deployments, I do have ADR rules set up.
Mm.
And, that has made life very easier, after Config Manager 2012.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so probably the next half of the question is, many times,
mm-hmm.
within the same month, an update is re-released.
Yeah.
Considering in the first 7 days you're achieving most of the compliance,
yeah.
do you update your package?
Yes.
When the update is re-released in the same month and target all the clients, or do you just target them the next month?
Yeah. So since these are security updates here, so we don't want to take any chances.
Mm-hmm.
If an update is re-released, we approve them immediately
mm-hmm.
on WSS and on our Config Manager as well. So as part of our, we do a two-phase deployment here. After the seventh day, we approve all the updates on our WSS server as well.
Mm-hmm.
So any machine that does not get the Config Manager, so the package will scan against our WSS server and get the packages as well. So we keep our WSS also updated with all the packages.
Okay, so you actually, so after the 7-day compliance, you yes. actually have all of the pack, okay, all the updates that
updates,
are approved
yes.
then. Okay. So the question of, you know, when you have something re-released, mm-hmm. you essentially do the same process, but pretty quick.
We do the same process as well. Okay. And we also removed expired updates and contents from the deployments periodically. So we do a housekeeping as well, so mm-hmm. just to keep our environment lean and clean. So we do a lot of housekeeping, so we remove all the expired updates out there as well.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's also part of what your team
yes, that's
does.
Part of the maintenance routine that we have as part of the whole patching process.
Okay. All right. Now, let's take another question. Oh, I love the questions coming in. All right. Rollback of a failed patch may prove costly. Yep. Putting out a patch with little testing can be business critical,
yep.
right?
Agreed.
Have you changed the best practice after Windows 10 when the patch not only is released on Patch Tuesday? And then there's a related question, but we'll take it
okay.
after this.
Yep. With Windows 10, you know, they have, you know, we do have the same releases during Patch Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, after Patch Tuesday, there is something called as the cumulative update. So the cumulative update typically contains all the Patch Tuesday updates as well, along with other updates. So we try to keep our environment secure. So we baseline our environment on security updates.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, you know, we allow our users to go out and scan and download any Microsoft updates.
Right.
So, you know, as a user at Microsoft, you know, you can go to Microsoft catalog or you can go to the scan, you can enable the scan against the Microsoft update mm-hmm. and download and install any updates on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But we baseline on security updates. Since we work pretty closely with the security update, with the security team, and we've already tested the security updates, so we baseline our environment on security updates. So any user can go ahead and download any update on the machine. And just another note, you know, every user at Microsoft is an admin on their box. So,
right,
you know,
right.
So they have a lot of powers.
That's true, yes. And then the related question is, how big is your team? And how these client health scripts are executed to systems?
Yeah. So as part of the routine maintenance here, you know, we kind of keep a close eye on the number of active machines, active clients in our environment, and how many machines are in the environment, and you know how many, you know, clients are inactive, you know,
mm-hmm.
and for what is the duration of the time that they have been inactive.
Mm-hmm.
So we run the client health scripts here. So we have a fixed script that we run. We check for proxy. We restart the services if the machines are not scanning.
Mm-hmm.
So if the agent's not reporting health. So we start, you know, removing the agent and, you know, try reinstalling the agent, you know, try restarting the service out there. We have a fixed set of scripts that we use
mm-hmm.
as part of the remediation process. And we typically start this process, you know, immediately after Patch Tuesday, and that's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
So as part of our client health, you know, we try to maintain more than 98% of client health
mm-hmm.
in our environment.
Okay. And then about how big is your team? I know you mentioned about,
yeah.
you mentioned that you have a global team.
Yep, I have teams both in India as well as in Redmond.
Yeah.
So we have 24/7 coverage for Config Manager here. So we have around 4 to 5 you know, employees in India along with a few vendor staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a pretty bigger team here in Redmond as well, you know. So we provide all the coverage. So we have a bigger site in Redmond. So we have a bigger team in Redmond.
Plus, and you also, earlier you mentioned all the different components of SCCM that you
yes.
were using, and so your team is spread across
yes.
for all of those
all
activities
of yes.
as well, right? Okay. All right, here's another question. Are you supporting patching for bring your own devices and non-domain joined devices or devices not enrolled in Intune?
So devices that are not enrolled into Intune now, we do not manage them. So where users who are bringing BYOD devices, you know, they have the option to enroll into management. So once they enroll into management, they are managed by Intune.
Yeah.
So we have certain baselines that we push out to them, certain policies that we push out to them, but we do not do any kind of software deployment or any kind of, we don't push out any packages to these machines out there,
mm-hmm.
but we ensure that the device is compliant
mm-hmm.
before it connects onto the network.
And that's purely
based on Intune policies.
Right. And do you also do a periodic WSS cleanup
yeah.
after 15.11 or is the default cleanup from SCCM enforced?
We do a periodic cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you know, after the 7-day, we also approve the updates on WSS. So we do a periodic cleanup of our distribution points.
Mm-hmm.
We do a periodic cleanup of our WSS as
mm-hmm.
well, you know, so that, you know, we keep them lean and mean. So we don't want to have too much content on WSS as well. You know, we don't want to, you know, put in too many updates out there on WSS, you know, if it's not required. So any kind of expired updates or, you know, updates that are, if you do not have, say, around, say, Windows XP in your environment, you don't want to keep any Windows XP updates on your WSS and your distribution point. So we remove all those things out there.
Right. So this whole end-to-end process, just beyond the patching, there's a lot of
yes.
the maintenance and the cleanup
yes.
and the remediation that you do so that you're prepared for the very next.
Exactly.
Okay.
So some of the best practices that I also want to talk about other than people and technology
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, since Config Manager is very dependent on your network, you know, create well-defined site boundaries, you know. That's something that we always emphasized to our customers as well, you know. Get your site boundaries well-defined and, you know, use silent patching for, you know, for better user experience, you know. It's up to the different enterprises, you know, how well you know they want to make it interactive, how you know based on their SLA, you know, they can keep patching silently for 6 days and make it interactive for 3 days, or make it completely silent as well. You know, it all depends on how aggressive they want to enforce patch compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, every user at Microsoft goes through a reboot once a month. So mm-hmm. that's what. You know, I try to keep myself as a standard. I don't like rebooting people's machines out there. But, you know, during Patch Tuesday, we got into this culture of, you know, we are all very well aware that, you know, we have to keep our machine secure. So, you know, it's only one reboot per, you know, patch cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that, you know, that we try to standardize. And as part of our, you know, client health also, we use WSS to install the Config Manager client, you know, so... the moment you reimage your machine, you know, we use a GPU as part of the image as well, you have the Config Manager client baked into the image.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a GPU that, you know, that pre-configures your Config Manager client the moment you, you know, refresh your machine or reimage your machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, you know, the moment the machine scans against WSS, it gets the latest, you know, Config Manager client.
That I've seen happen. Yeah,
yes.
If a new machine comes up, the very first thing is make sure that it
yes.
has all the patches.
So that, you know, we immediately run the inventory on the machine. We are able to see the machine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to provision software to the machine out there, you know. So we try to keep the lag between the time that the machine comes onto the network to the time the machine is completely managed to Config Manager.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we try to keep it to the minimum time here. So those are some of the best practices here, you know, if you have any further questions, I'm open to a lot of questions.
We certainly do have, and that's wonderful. I mean,
yes.
there certainly it seems like a lot of the best practices just gained through doing this over and over again and streamlining it based on
yeah.
what users, because of course users are very vocal when it comes to
yes.
you know, my machine is just getting rebooted while I'm doing something important. So. Definitely, we'll take some more questions. I already have some more questions in here. We will take that. But meanwhile, I do want to remind everybody who's watching, we will actually post a link for feedback. So please take the time to provide your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. If you have additional questions that you have been thinking about, feel free to post them right here, and I will be asking Ashok more questions as
yeah.
we go. So we'll just give them a moment to grab the link.
Yeah.
And on that, you know, I was just curious about third-party patches. Yeah, we talked a lot about patching,
yeah.
you know, Microsoft patches, security patches, and things. So what happens to third-party patches, and how are?
You know, that's a question that I'm asked most of the time by enterprise customers. There, any customer interaction that I have, you know, this is the top priority question that I'm asked. Yes, we do patch third-party, you know, updates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of updates, like, you know, for Java, Adobe, QuickTime, you know, Firefox, Chrome. There are a lot of updates available, and these applications can be vulnerable, and, you know, their companies release out updates. So what we do is we create packages. So my packaging team also works 24/7 here. So we create packages. We work very closely with security team. So the security team flags that there's an active exploit in Java,
mm-hmm.
You know, they let us know that, you know, this is an update that we need to deploy. And my team treats it as an out-of-bound patch. We create the package using Config Manager app model software distribution, and we deploy the patches to the whole corp. So unlike patches, you know, a software distribution takes around 9 business days
mm-hmm.
to reach 90% to 95%. So for the SLA to reach 95% is a little longer. Instead of 7 days, it's 9 days. But we reach around 95% of our patch compliance for any third-party patches as well.
So it's still the same compliance measure that you have. Okay.
Since the security team monitors the compliance, you know, we work very closely with them to see, hey, you know, what's the top vulnerability in our environment, and you know, and what are we going to do about it? And we create a plan. We create a service improvement plan to determine, you know, how do we tackle this particular vulnerability out there.
Okay. So we will go into the Q&A phase at this point in time. So let's see. We have a few questions lined up here, and I'll go one by one. Do you select all the products and all the categories to be brought down to your WSUS catalog?
Yes. We try to, we don't do a lot of other server products because the client space is supposed to be the workstation machines out there.
Yeah.
So I don't expect...
In fact, that's actually the follow-up question in here. It says, you know, does your team patch only workstations or they also do servers?
Good thing. So yeah, we typically try to you know, encourage our users to move to LabsOU or to the ResearchOU if they have any kind of, you know, test machines or, you know, big server machines running out there. So it keeps our environment, you know, segregated, and you know, we are able to, you know, do targeted patch deployment. So that said, you know, there are certain instances where we have found that, you know, people are running SharePoint servers on their desktops and, or SQL servers on the desktop. So what we do is we don't want to take any chances. We also, you know, approve certain server products out there because Config Manager provides you an inventory. So we know what's, you know, being installed in the environment here. So we also work with the security teams to see that, you know, is there any particular update available for SQL Server out there? So we also patch, or we also approve those updates onto our WSS.
Okay. Now, but your team, though, focuses primarily on client patch management. Do have a totally dedicated team that does just production service.
Exactly. So we have a we have a team that's dedicated to data centers. Mm-hmm. We have a team that's dedicated to labs. Mm-hmm. We have a since we have a lot of retail stores as well, we have a dedicated team that manages all the retail stores.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so now, the next question is, when you're updating to Config Manager 15.11, when are you updating? So, and I think you already mentioned we are on 15.11.
Yes, we are on 15.11.
And will that change any of your patching strategies?
So far, no, because the process that we follow for patching is the same. Mm-hmm. The guideline is to keep the environment secure, and the process for remediation, everything is the same here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, any kind of newer technologies like your servicing plans for Windows 10 that's coming as part of your 15.11 or part of your 16.02 releases, you know, we try to incorporate and inculcate that particular feature into our environment here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the core objective does not change, is to keep our environment secure and, you know, to do the best and to utilize the best practices.
All right, and what classes would you recommend to learn more about System Center Configuration Manager 2012? Do you have something on top of your mind?
Yeah, I would say we have a couple of TechNet articles out there, you know, where it says like how Microsoft IT implemented Config Manager 2012. I have one of my colleagues who's written that particular article. That gives a little bit of insight on how we went ahead and implemented Config Manager 2012 at Microsoft IT.
Right.
And there are a lot of, you know, tutorials, I would say, at TechNet, you know, where you can see, you know, some of our, you know, field folks, you know, talking about their experience working with customers and how they've implemented Config Manager. Very good resources. I can probably, you know...
And I think we do have a link, you know, which we can share. In
yes.
fact, there's a link which shows you can go up to Microsoft.com/IT Showcase, specifically for Microsoft IT-related resources. But, of course, you know, TechNet, MSDN
TechNet
has a lot. And I think even Virtual Academy, isn't there are courses up on Microsoft Virtual Academy
as well.
There
are courses on Microsoft Virtual Academy that talks about, you know, Config Manager 2012 and, you know, how we've implemented, what are the new features. And, you know, keep an eye on some of the TechNet articles that talk about the new features that's lighting up on 15.11 and 16.02 that's coming up next month. You know, it's really good.
All right. Okay. The next question. Are Microsoft's Config Manager clients and client cumulative updates managed by the patching team using software update-based client installation or SCUP or some other Config Manager deployment method outside of software updates?
So, can you repeat the question?
So, let's see. Let me try to decipher this for you. Are Microsoft's Config Manager clients and client cumulative updates managed by the patching team using software update-based client, based client installation or SCUP or some other ACCM deployment method outside of software updates? So I guess, are we using software updates versus, what's the combination, I guess,
so, that we're using? We have an infra team that takes care of the whole config manager hierarchy here. So, you know, it is their responsibility, you know, to keep the config manager updated with the latest updates as well, you know. So they take care of the whole updating of the hierarchy, mm-hmm. you know, and installing the latest clients onto client machines as mm-hmm. well. And, you know, we have, and also the client health team works very closely in updating the client, the config manager client on each of the machines out there.
Right.
So they take care of on managing the SCCM hierarchy, mm-hmm. as well as keeping the SCCM clients at the optimal level.
All right. So the next question, I think, is you talked about stakeholders, right? How do you prepare help desk with information on upcoming patches and impact?
Oh, that's very, very important here. You know, it's very important to keep all these stakeholders, you know, informed.
Mm-hmm.
So every time before we deploy patches, you know, mm-hmm. we keep all the stakeholders, even the help desk, informed, you know, what's coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks who are ready to support the users mm-hmm. know what to look out for. You know, if there's any particular update that's being causing an issue out there, so they really know what to, you know, roll back. They really know how to roll back the update. And, you know, they have a different escalation channels, like the tier 1, tier 2, and then my folks are also in the tier 3. So we sit and triage if there's any particular, update that's causing a big failure.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to pull back the patch and start remediations and, you know, work with the product teams to get the patch re-released as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just impacting Microsoft, it's impacting globally, worldwide. So
right.
we try to be very proactive during patch Tuesdays, you know, starting the patch Tuesday, our teams are pretty hyper on that.
Now, is that the busiest 7 days
yes.
that happens? Like every week, you know, that's the busiest 7 days you have?
Trust me, it's difficult to get vacation during that time.
And you may be getting those exception requests, right? You may
yes.
be getting people who ask,
yes.
and give me an exception. So we have a time for about a couple more questions, so
okay.
I do want to take them here. How do you plan disk size space needed for software update?
So as part of our the config manager client here, you know, it's a first in, first out here. So as part of the cache here, so since we do, updates through config manager client here, so the cache size is, you know, pretty much controlled at the server end. So we, as part of the client setting,
mm-hmm.
we set the cache size for each of the client machines out there. So it does not, we have never seen any impact on the disk space here, but whenever there is, we try to clear up the cache. That's also part of a remediation script as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We try to clear up the cache if there's any disk space issues out there. So we have a remediation script that looks out and flags that, okay, there is some kind of disk space issues. We try to clear up the cache on those machines so that the update is happening seamlessly out there.
All right. So the question again is then related to remediation scripts itself. Are they all just done silently behind the scenes?
Yes. We try to keep most of the remediation scripts, silently. So, resetting your proxies, you
mm-hmm.
know, resetting your services, your SMS host services.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are done silently.
And so the user doesn't get to know when their SCCM client is not working.
Yes.
It's essentially you are able to look at it in the back end and make sure that. And so you're not seeing the compliance. So you're seeing the machine has gone out of compliance,
yeah.
and that's how you're looking for
it. Exactly. And certain times, you know, when the SCCM client's not working, you know, you're not able to access your application catalog, like your company portal out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not able to provision software to users out there. So they can proactively call the help desk, and, you know, the help desk has got certain Primus articles that they do to remediate the SMS agent on the machine,
mm-hmm.
so they're able to provision software.
So on that note, so you talked about some knowledge base articles that they actually have and
mm-hmm.
steps. How is that partnership and how is your team involved in creating those articles and information?
Yeah, so we work as part of the tier 3 year, so my team works very closely with the help desk folks
mm-hmm.
to provide them, you know, any kind of remediation scripts that we can run proactively on the machines. So we provide all the scripts to the help desk folks also, saying that, you know, this is something that can be done to clear the cache
mm-hmm.
or to reset the services out there. So that's something that my team proactively works with the help desk teams as well.
All right. So I think we have time for one last question, and we'll take that. It's around the optional updates, right? You talked about baselining against the optional updates, but How do you keep track of what user, or is it something that is just left for the users and machines, and then you don't have to keep track of you're just looking at the security compliance, and the rest of them is essentially considered good to go.
Yeah, it's we pretty much baseline on the security updates.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, every user is an admin on the box, and probably the user might want to install certain optional updates to light up certain features of Windows or mm-hmm. Or Office. So he can go ahead and download them from the Microsoft catalog and install them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not creating any kind of or security in the environment, because we keep monitoring the security of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to baseline the environment for security updates. Rest, the user wants to be more productive by installing certain optional updates, we allow them to go and install the updates.
All right. I keep saying one last question. I have this actually one question that we got to ask here is the exceptions.
Yeah.
What's the process? Any best practices to share regarding exceptions? And how do users request exceptions?
Yeah, so we have as part of the MSIT, SharePoint site, we have an IT website where users can come in and, we have a detailed exception process where they request exception. It can be either for that particular org mm-hmm. or a particular OU.
Mm-hmm.
So they put in the request and, we look at, how many machines are impacted. We let them know that, how they need to keep the environment secure,
mm-hmm.
and we provide them options like on-demand patching or maintenance Windows-based patching, and so that they are able to keep the machines in a secure state. And based on that, we take a decision. How do we provide exception to them? We also provide exception. By not patching them, but by providing them an extended deadline as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is that the case when you have the earnings report coming up,
exactly.
or you have some seasonal requests?
Yeah.
That you don't want those client machines to be affected.
That's right.
So you have an internal portal where users can go and make a request.
Yeah.
And then you look at those extensively and provide the four options that you were talking about. Essentially,
yes.
You have to select one of
that's
those.
That's right.
You
so
really can get out of it.
They have to provide us business justification on why they want to do that.
Yeah.
So that's important, right?
Yeah.
So we try to ask them, what is the business justification, for providing an exception from patching here.
And that's for a duration, I would think.
Yes.
So after which, then you'll automatically
fall
into
the force.
Yeah, we try to
keep it for a duration. After that, the back end of the patching here. So typically, exclusions are, based for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And after which, the back end of the patching here. So it's based on the business need or the
mm-hmm.
business requirement here.
Okay. So, and then you say, after that, we'll just enforce it.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Wonderful questions. There were a whole lot of questions in here today. So it was great.
Thank you
so much, Ashok. Again, as always, we learned a lot. I do want to say thank you to everybody who joined us today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And we also have a few links that we want to share with you. You can find much more content about Microsoft and Microsoft IT on Microsoft.com/IT Showcase. And again, this webinar will be available to you in a couple of weeks. You can watch this again. If you have colleagues who have not been able to attend today, feel free to share with them as well. So thank you once again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, and we will see you next time.